Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we are reading because today is Ekadasi. We are reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and we're reading from volume 2, Planting the Seed, and we're reading from the chapter number 21, Beyond the Lower East Side. We are, quite well into the chapter, actually. Well, we're almost at the end. There are sections with a couple of lines space between each section. So we are in the, we're going to start now the first, second, third, fourth. It's about the fifth section from the end. It begins, one of Prabhupada's main concerns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It looks like it's the sixth little section from the end, and it begins, one of Prabhupada's main concerns. So let me start reading. One of Prabhupada's main concerns was to finish and publish as soon as possible his translation and commentary of Bhagavad Gita. And one day something happened that enabled him to increase his work on the manuscript. Unexpectedly, a boy named Neil arrived. He was a student from Antioch College on a special work-study program, and he had the school's approval to work one term within the ashram of Swami Bhaktivedanta, which he had heard about through the newspaper. Neil mentioned that he was a good typist, if that could be of any help to the Swami. Prabhupada considered this to be Krishna's blessing. Immediately, he rented a dictaphone and began dictating tapes. Hayagriva donated his electric typewriter, and Neil set up his work area in Swamiji's front room and began typing 8 hours a day. Sure. This inspired Prabhupada and obliged him to produce more. He worked quickly, sometimes day and night, on his Bhagavad Gita as it is. He had founded ISKCON 5 months ago, yet in his classes he was still reading the Bhagavad Gita translation of Dr. Radhakrishnan. But when Bhagavad Gita as it is would at last be published, he told his disciples, it would be of major importance for the Krishna consciousness movement. At last, there would be a bona fide edition of the Gita. So, just a little aside, I hope Kasturi Manjari, I'm sorry we sent the information late. We are learning. We are almost there, actually. Yes, we are practically, I would say we're there. But you need to inform the devotees of both numbers, the passcode and the other one. Oh my gosh. We lost her. Okay, anyway, I'm just going to carry on. So the point here is, or a point here is, very important. Well, first let me chant some prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Jatane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can you see if the green light is on? Just get up there, otherwise I have to get up and do it myself. You see this thing sticking out at the side? Yeah, that's the one. Is there, on the top there, is there a green light? No. Can you see there's a little button? Which you've got to press with your fingernail. Press it until the green... Is it on solid or flashing?
Solid.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. Now we are recording what I said. So it's very important that... Srila Prabhupada was so concerned about the publishing of his books. He was giving programs every day in 26 Second Avenue. This is all happening in 26 Second Avenue. So he was giving programs every day, and they were inviting people. And where the temple was, it was one in New York. It was the center of the hippie movement. Of course, the main center of the hippie movement was in San Francisco, somehow or other. That's the way it worked out, even though San Francisco is not such an important city in America. But you know, it spread to New York, and so there was a substantial hippie movement in New York, and 26 Second Avenue was right in the center of that. So, yes. And the devotees, this group that was gradually gathering around Prabhupada, they were all, the great majority were hippies, and they were part of that whole scene. In those days we used this term scene, everything that was going on amongst that group, which was big. There were thousands. There was probably tens of thousands just in New York. And the devotees were inviting, and they were in touch with so many of those hippies. And some of them were coming. But not so many. Not so many were coming. For whatever reasons, even though much more than today amongst the youth of America at that time, Krishna consciousness was taken quite seriously, more so than it is today amongst the young people. That's a fact. But still, not many were coming. In fact, for many of the hippies, Hare Krishna was really quite cool. It was really quite an important type of force within the hippie community. But despite the fact that the devotees were advertising, they were inviting, as we know, Prabhupada was going out and Prabhupada was doing harinams, basically, more like sitting down harinams in parks, particularly Washington Square Park, famous park down there. And people would gather, and the devotees would speak to them and invite them and all that. But not a lot were coming. So Srila Prabhupada understood that when they were able to distribute his books, and so the people could get a book, not just the hippies, but more sort of normal, shall we say, people could get the books and take them home and study them and really, you know, go into it and think about things and then come back and read again and like this. The books, Krishna consciousness in the form of books, has a really amazing and very powerful presence. Well, anything in the form of books, because there's the possibility of this ongoing association and going back over things and like this. So Prabhupada appreciated that literature, particularly actual books, and even hard-bound books, once his philosophy and once Krishna consciousness was available in those types of forms, then the impact would be much greater. Than anything that they were already doing, including having Harinam, with Srila Prabhupada, personally leading the Harinam. Yes, so therefore Prabhupada really placed emphasis on getting his books printed. But none of them were printed, and none of them were ready yet to be printed. So, as we just read, the preparation of the books for printing was going on. But then there were also problems with that, in that you need people who know how to put together books. So therefore this person, Neil, who we just read about, who just happened along and came to stay in the ashram, Prabhupada took it as Krishna's arrangement, because this Neil knew how to type. Yes, he knew how to type. So like this, Prabhupada had someone to type out his dictations, which were recorded on cassette tapes in those days. And as we read, Neil was typing 8 hours a day, really getting into it. And it was coming to the point, at least, soon that Prabhupada would be able to print Bhagavad Gita. This is what Neil was typing. Up till then, when Prabhupada would, well, Prabhupada, when he was giving classes on Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would use Dr. Radhakrishnan's version of Bhagavad Gita. Mahaprabhu, Kripa Prabhu, can you mute everyone yourself, or do they have to do it? So Dr. Radhakrishnan, Prabhupada felt that generally the translations were all right. Generally, the translations were all right. Not always. When Prabhupada was told that in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's around verse, I would say 44, approximately. It's something like that. Where Dr. Radhakrishnan translates the verse which is talking about the like the natural duties of Vaishyas. You know, first of all, there's one verse, I think it's 42. The natural duties of the Brahmins. We read that often in initiation ceremonies when devotees are getting second initiation. Then the next one, I think, is 43, is the duties of the Kshatriyas. And the next one, I think, is 44, is the duties of the Vaishyas and the Sudras. So Dr. Radhakrishnan translated that verse about the Vaishyas and Sudras, that the natural one of the natural duties of a Vaishya is cattle raising. Cattle raising. Whereas the actual Sanskrit says Goraksha. Goraksha. And particularly those of you there who understand Hindi, you'll understand immediately. Goraksha does not mean cattle raising. That's just a horrible translation of it. It means cow protection. In the simplest translation is cow protection. Raksha meaning protection. So when Prabhupada was told that this is actually what this man has put as the translation there, then Prabhupada stopped reading from his Bhagavad Gita, Dr. Radhakrishnan's, and Prabhupada started reading from his manuscripts, his own manuscripts, because, I mean, for obvious reasons. Yes, and Prabhupada knew that when his books could be published, then it would be much easier for people to get access to Krishna consciousness and to understand what is Krishna consciousness. It would be so much easier than even having the Harinams and even having his programs in the center in 26 Second Avenue. So therefore he was always, there was an urgent desire in his heart to publish books and Bhagavad Gita it seems, was going to be first. So let us read on a little further. Whatever Swamiji said or did, his disciples wanted to hear about it. Gradually, they had increased their faith and devotion to Swamiji, whom they accepted as God's representative. And they took his actions and words to be absolute. After one of the disciples had been alone with him, the others would gather around to find out every detail of what had happened. It was Krishna consciousness. Jadurani was especially guileless, means innocent and open, in relating what Swamiji had said or done. One day, Prabhupada had stepped on a tack, which means basically a type of nail. Prabhupada had stepped on a tack, a type of nail, that Jadurani had dropped on the floor. Whoa, Krishna! And although she knew it was a serious offense to her spiritual master, the major importance of the event seemed to be how Prabhupada had displayed his transcendental consciousness. He silently and emotionlessly reached down and pulled the tack from his foot without so much as a cry. And once, when she was fixing a painting over his head behind the desk, she had accidentally stepped on his sitting mat, means Prabhupada's personal paraphernalia that Prabhupada would use or was using right then even. Is that an offense? She had asked. And Swamiji had replied, no. For service, you could even stand on my head. Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Krishna, what to say. The transcendental consciousness of Srila Prabhupada is truly amazing. I was also told by very reliable sources that Srila, when one devotee went for the first time to preach in Pakistan. I think it was either Pakistan or Iran. Yeah, in some heavy Muslim country. One devotee was preparing to go and told Prabhupada, I think it was Paramahansa Swami, or Paravrajakacharya Swami, they were a team. And so they told Prabhupada, this is what's happening. And Prabhupada said, any devotee who goes to the Muslim countries to preach, I will take the dust from their feet and put it on my head. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, such a deep, incredibly deep devotee, such an incredibly Krishna conscious devotee, of course, but so deep that he would have emotions of that sort. Particularly, well, in that case, in regard to preaching. Yes. And in this case, we just read about in regard to devotional service. But, you know, Prabhupada may have said, Prabhupada said that, but we, if we somehow or other end up in such a position, we should take it that it is an offense. And we should offer humble obeisances and beg for forgiveness. Yeah. All right. So let's just carry on. We started slightly late, so we'll carry on for another 5, maximum 10 minutes. Sometimes Brahmananda would say that Swamiji had told him something very intimate about Krishna consciousness in private. But when he would tell what Swamiji had said, someone else would recall that the same thing was in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had said that the spiritual master is present in his instructions, and that he, Prabhupada, had tried to put everything into those 3 volumes of the Bhagavatam. And the devotees were finding this to be true. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That Prabhupada, as he's there in New York, right at this point in the development of the movement, Prabhupada would fairly regularly, express, you could say, a fear or just the fact that he felt that he could pass away at any time. Of course, anyone can pass away at any time, and I'm sure right now people are passing away right now somewhere. And I'm sure that right now some young people are passing away who didn't expect it. And other people didn't expect their friends and family and whatever. Didn't expect they're going to pass away. But through accident or anything, it's happening. So Prabhupada had that, shall we say, concern. And therefore, in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he really tried, not just really tried, but he made a point of including the essential teachings of Krishna consciousness, so that if it should happen, even at that time, that first canto would be there. And in a certain sense, it would have been enough. Of course, as we know, Prabhupada did pass away before he finished Srimad Bhagavatam. He had finished the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. The rest was done by his disciples. And, you know, we don't want to minimize it, but obviously it's hard to imagine it could be on the same level as if Prabhupada himself had done it. But anyway, they did it. But, and very interesting point in that regard, is that Prabhupada, with this concern in mind, and knowing how intimate in some places and just how important is the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada, right in the early stages, right around now, he produced the Krishna books, which are a summary study of the 10th canto, not verse by verse with purport, as we all know about, but in a sort of, you could say, slightly looser format, not so formal and structured very strictly, although it is strictly structured. But he felt that it was important that he do that rather than it be left in the future to his disciples, who knows if they would have been capable. Yeah. So this is very important. This is of such extreme importance in terms of the development of the Krishna consciousness movement. So let me carry on. There were no secrets in Swamiji's family of devotees. Everyone knew that Umapati had left for a few days, disappointed with the Swami's severe criticism of the Buddhists, but had come back and in a heavy, sincere exchange with Prabhupada, he had decided to take to Krishna consciousness again. And everyone knew that Satswarup had resigned from his job, and that when he went to tell Swamiji about it, Swamiji had told him that he could not quit, but should go on earning money for Krishna and donating it to the society, and that this would be his best service. And everyone knew that Swamiji wanted Gaga Muni to cut his hair. Swamiji called it Gaga Muni's Shakespearean locks. But the Gaga Muni would not do so. Oh, Krishna. It's just, this is very interesting, you know, social aspects of Srila Prabhupada and his preaching in the beginning. So let's continue. The year ended, and Prabhupada was still working on his manuscript of Bhagavad Gita, still lecturing in the mornings from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings from Bhagavad Gita, and still talking of going to San Francisco. Then, New Year's Eve came, and the devotees suggested that since this was a holiday, when people go out to celebrate, maybe they should hold a Krishna conscious festival, Rupanuga. So we had a big feast, and a lot of people came, although it wasn't as crowded as the Sunday feasts. We were all taking prasadam, and Swamiji was sitting on his dais, and he was also taking prasadam. He was demanding that we eat lots of prasadam. And then he was saying, chant, chant. So we were eating and chanting Hare Krishna between bites. And he was insisting on more and more prasadam. I was amazed. He stayed with us and kept insisting that we eat so much. He stayed until around 11 o'clock, and then he became drowsy, and the party was over. This is the evening, New Year's Eve evening. Amazing. Okay, let's just have a look here. All right. So I think we will finish here for today, and we'll carry on next Ekadasi.